Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Police pulled the body of an unidentified man out of the Mineral River today. According to the Juneau Police Department, a man reported finding a body wedged between rocks in the river across from View Drive late this morning. Police and a special team from Capital City Fire Rescue went to the scene, and a police officer retrieved the body from the water shortly after noon. Police say there were no obvious signs of trauma on the body. JPD spokesperson Aaron Kalwara said police have not released the name, but have reason to believe the deceased is not from Alaska. She said they'll continue to investigate while awaiting results from an autopsy by the state medical examiner's office in Anchorage before they release a name. Autopsy results could take anywhere from several days to several weeks. Governor Mike Dunleavy spoke for half an hour yesterday at a news conference, and his words made clear that he thinks lawmakers aren't doing enough to cut the state budget. His sharpest point, however, may have been silent, the red pen tucked into his breast pocket. The pen was a reference to Dunleavy's power to cut the budget himself. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Nat Herz has this story on the governor's line item veto.
This story is about what's happening now at the Alaska Capitol in Juneau. But it starts more than a half century ago at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
The hour appointed by the Alaska Territorial Legislature, having arrived for the convening of the Alaska Constitutional Convention.
It was 1955, and convention delegates were deciding what they wanted their new state government to look like. One thing they knew was that they were frustrated by how little power Alaska had over its own affairs as a federal territory. So they decided to create a very strong governor. Not only did they give the governor the power to veto specific line items in the budget, they made it extra hard for the legislature to overturn a line item veto, requiring a special three-quarters vote. Here's Steve McCutcheon, the delegate who chaired the convention's committee on the legislature.
Because you cannot exercise a strong executive arm unless you have a strong control on the purse strings.
Okay, now we can get back to this year.
It's going to touch all Alaskans, no matter where they live and no matter what they do.
That's Alaska's new governor, Republican Mike Dunleavy, when he was introducing his budget earlier this year. Dunleavy wants to pay residents much larger permanent fund dividends. So he's proposing steep cuts to core government services, public schools, healthcare, ferries, and the university system. The state legislature has moved toward reducing Dunleavy's proposed dividend and adding back much of the money for government programs that he wants to cut. But once lawmakers pass the budget, Dunleavy can veto parts of it back down. At a recent news conference, he said he's still waiting to see what the final version looks like. And then he said this.
If all we're going to have in the budget are a small reduction, then we really haven't accomplished much this year. We're not going to put any tools off the table, and I'm not going to be afraid to use any of the tools that the Constitution has provided the executive.
The real power of the governor's line item veto resides not so much in the veto itself, but in how hard it is for the legislature to override it. In almost every other state, lawmakers can override vetoes of spending with a two-thirds or simple majority vote. Alaska is the only one where it takes three-quarters, 45 votes out of the combined 60 members of the House and Senate. That three-quarters bar is so high and the threat from Dunleavy seems so real that some lawmakers were trying to rally support for overriding vetoes even before the governor introduced his budget, says Representative Lance Pruitt, an Anchorage Republican. To be clear, Pruitt leads the House's Republican minority, which is more aligned with Dunleavy, and he wasn't on board with this idea.
Probably even before we got down here to Juneau, people were kind of, well, what about the veto override? There was a recognition then, because of what the governor had said, that he had no problem taking that action, that they had to account for that.
One concern for left-leaning lawmakers opposed to steep spending cuts is that Republicans like Pruitt could choose to side with Dunleavy out of partisan loyalty. But if Dunleavy takes vetoes too far, he could end up uniting lawmakers against him across party lines. Like if the budget he signs has something for everyone to dislike. Cuts to ferries that Southeast Alaska depends on, cuts to school construction payments that are important in the Mat-Su, and cuts to the university system, which is centered in Fairbanks. Here's how Jesse Keel, a Democratic senator from Juneau, sees the dynamics.
Yeah, the simple fact is that this governor's budget proposal has pain for the whole state, and we all have issues that are particularly important to us. So you can't get there picking off one or two. You got to get to three quarters. So it's going to be a broad agreement if it happens.
Of course, lawmakers could avoid line item vetoes altogether by settling on a compromise budget that satisfies the House, the Senate, and Dunleavy. But for now, such a compromise plan appears to be far off. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
The Alaska House could pass its version of the state budget as soon as tomorrow. The House has been voting on amendments yesterday and today. Through late afternoon today, six amendments have passed and 22 have failed. The biggest change is the addition of $1.6 million to the budget of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. Roughly 28 amendments are left on the agenda. Once the House passes the budget, it will go to the Senate. State law says the session should end this Sunday, the 90th day, but the Alaska Constitution allows sessions to last as many as 121 days, which would be May 15th this year. You can follow the live Gab Alaska coverage of the budget debate on 360 North Television and 360north.org. Nearly $1 million was raised in state-sponsored raffle designed to benefit K-12 schools. Last year, the state established a program allowing Alaskans to donate a portion of their permanent fund dividends to the raffle. The raffle generated just over $975,000, and about $730,000 will go to schools. Fairbanks Republican Senator Click Bishop introduced the legislation last year.
To try to bring a little bit of certainty to public education funding and to help look at alternative ways of raising new revenue for education.
Bishop says he's pleasantly surprised with the results of the raffle. The money is divvied up, with 50% going into the state education department budget and 25% going into education endowment fund. The remaining 25% is used for a raffle fund and this year's prizes. There will be four winners, with first place taking home almost $20,000. Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed budget cuts to public education in the state that total just over $300 million. The money generated from the raffle is a drop in the bucket in comparison. Bishop says he's hopeful the education raffle will grow in popularity.
If I was the governor, I'd have a TV camera there when we pull the winners and have that publicized. And when that word gets out and you pull a winner, I think, I just think it'll catch fire.
Bishop says his office doesn't have the numbers for how many people participated statewide in the raffle. The audience participation was enthusiastic when Mindy and her fishermen took the stage last night at the 45th Annual Alaska Folk Fest. The group includes lead singer Mindy Rowland and her bandmates Steve Rowland, Chris Frary, John Hartle, Joe Emerson, and Keith Heller, all of whom are either sport or commercial fishermen. This year marks the fifth anniversary of a traumatic brain injury that took lead vocalist Rowland's ability to speak. Singing, she says, played a major role in her recovery. Tuesday night's acts featured all Alaska-based artists from Juneau, Douglas, Anchorage, Petersburg, and Dillingham. And performing for the first time at Folk Fest as the Fiscal Notes, three familiar musician-slash-politicians were back last night. Dave Tallarico, representative from House District 6, Speaker of the House Bryce Edgman, and Representative Adam Roll from District 5 put politics aside for the evening and focused on the bipartisanship of music.
People get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no ticket, just get on board.
Night three of Alaska Folk Fest resumes at 6:30 p.m. this evening, live at Centennial Hall. You can also listen in at KRNN 102.7 FM. Or stream concerts online at ktoo.org/folkfest.